Welcome back to the Bros and Beers podcast. My name is James and I'm joined here today with my co-host Vian. How are you doing, bro?
I'm lacking yourself, brother.
I'm doing fantastic. You know, we had the day off today, so no varsity. Could sleep in late. Had a really good morning. Allusion to our last podcast there. And yeah, it's been a really relaxed day so far. How's your day been?
Relaxed as well. Like you said, no varsity, so you could sleep in and the dull morning routine. Throwback to our last episode, like you said. But yeah, it was a pretty chillous day. I think we should jump straight into it.
Yeah, let's jump on in. Today, we are drinking Windhoek.
The one.
Tell me, Vian. Tell me about Windhoek.
It was difficult to find some fun facts. You know, we start off with some fun facts with a beer, then jump into the topic. But it was really difficult to find fun facts about Windhoek. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm curious because, I mean, it's a pretty popular beer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's the most popular, but it's fairly prevalent in bottle stores around the country. And with that in mind, it is pretty strange that there isn't a lot of information about this, or they're not pushing like crazy advertising campaigns. I mean, when was the last time you saw a Windhoek ad?
That's a really good question. It was quite a while ago.
Yeah, for the life of me, I can't remember seeing one recently. And by recently, I mean within the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Or if I did see one, it clearly didn't stand out to me. So that's interesting.
It is interesting. But you know, did some research, found some information. The Windhoek draft, the one we're drinking today, was created in 1920.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, and then it's a Namibian beer created in Windhoek in Namibia. Okay. And then, like we said in the previous episode, we have the license to create a beer here, and it is created or brewed by the same people who brew Heineken.
Okay, that's cool. So again, it's one of the sort of internationally local beers. Where it's from another place, but it is made here within the country.
Yeah, so and that's kind of all I could find. Another fun fact is only 4% alcohol. Some of the lowest we've had on the podcast so far.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, this is the lowest we've had.
Yeah.
4% is a really, really, I wouldn't say it's the lowest, but it's a really comfortable alcohol range for beer. You know, you can quite easily drink a couple of these without having to stress too much. So, yeah, that's cool. Good to note.
Yeah, and then other than that, there wasn't a lot I could find. So sorry about that, listeners. It was it was really difficult to find some information on this. So that said, I think we should jump straight into rockets.
Rockets, yes. A topic that not many people know about. Mm-mm. I'm sure they've heard about the SpaceX launches and all the stuff they're planning on doing. But overall, I'm sure no one has heard about the South African rocket sort of industry and what we're trying to do down here.
Do we actually have a rocket industry?
We do, funnily enough. Not too long ago, on the 20th of February, the University of KZN actually launched their second, let me see if I can get this right, the Phoenix 1B Mark II rocket.
Yo, that's a lot. So tell me more about this rocket, because I know nothing about rockets. You're the rocket man over here.
I'm a rocket man. Yeah, so the Phoenix 1B isn't what a lot of people imagine when they think of a rocket. This is a small scale, it's what they call a suborbital rocket. So this thing wasn't designed to put sort of people in space or even large payloads in space. This thing was just designed to sort of go up into the upper atmosphere, gather some information, and then come on down back to Earth.
Okay, so what is the whole... Because when I think of rockets, I think astronauts and they're going to Mars or something. So what is the whole deal with only sending it into suborbit?
Yeah, so the purpose of a suborbital rocket, or as they're more commonly known, a sounding rocket, is to study the upper atmosphere and to gather data about the rocket itself and the rocket launch and sort of the, as they call it, the telemetry or the data that the rocket gives back to the launch site. Okay. So that they can see the stresses it's under, the wind conditions. So often, sounding rockets are used to sort of scout a possible launch site. Because you don't want to build a launch site over a very turbulent sort of area in the atmosphere. Because in the upper atmosphere, there's these really fast-moving columns of air. And if one of those happens to be above your launch site, you're going to be in some serious trouble. Because every time you try and launch a rocket, it's going to go straight into that column of air. And that can do a lot of damage to the rocket itself.
So if I'm not mistaken, what you're saying is that these smaller rockets, or what do you call them?
Sounding rockets.
Sounding rockets are like guinea pigs for the bigger rockets.
Yeah, no, 100%. And over and above that, they're basically a giant piece of scientific equipment to, one, monitor the launch itself, and then, two, to gather data about the surrounding environment. So it's pretty cool. What is really cool about this rocket itself is that the government actually invested 15 million rand into developing rocket launch infrastructure within the country.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's wild because no one knows about this. We didn't hear about it on the news, on the radio. No one is speaking about the fact that the government is actually investing money into building a rocket program in the country. And what will be interesting about that is that that means that South Africa will be the only country on the African continent that is actively developing a space program.
Wow. I mean, I didn't know about this. So this is really interesting hearing this from your point of view, Mr. Rocket Man. But I didn't know about it. And this is actually really interesting. So you say that we are the biggest, or like the only part on Africa, on the African continent, that is actively developing rockets right now?
Yeah. So some other countries, obviously, they want to develop satellites and stuff, but they use third-party launch companies such as SpaceX, ULA, Rocket Labs, and then the Soviet Union, obviously, too. Yeah. Well, Soviet Union? Isn't that like Cold War era? Anyway, the Russians.
The Russians.
They use the Russian rocket to get stuff into space. So that'll be a very good business proposition for the country, and it'll be very good for the economy,
yeah,
if we can get it right. And that's the tricky part, because unfortunately, the Phoenix 1B Mark II failed.
Was it like a big catastrophe, or was it small?
So, it was pretty big. Obviously, you know, it's a bunch of, yeah, like university students, but not like what we imagine university students. These are like post-grad, yeah, honors and PhD students that are actively working at this. I mean, rocket science is no joke. So the rocket launched, got about 5-10 meters in the air, and then the rocket motor itself failed. If I'm not mistaken, it was an electronic failure that affected the pump that was pumping the oxidizing agent into the propellant chamber. And because there was no more oxidation, there were no more oxidation catalysts, the propulsion elements of the rocket failed, and therefore it basically just fell out the sky like a giant pencil.
So you said a lot of big words there. So basically what you were trying to say, if I'm not mistaken, is that not enough oxygen got into the fuel tanks, and therefore it couldn't itself up into the air anymore, and then it exploded or fell.
Well, yes and no. So an oxidizing agent isn't necessarily oxygen.
Oh, okay.
But it contains oxygen, and obviously oxygen is very good for burning things.
Yeah.
So an oxidizing agent is something that during a chemical reaction releases oxygen, and then that aids in the propulsion itself. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the oxidizing agent is oxygen. Often it's like crazy stuff that I don't even know the names of. So it's really, really cool. And even though it failed, what's important to note is that a failure doesn't necessarily mean that the program itself is a failure and that the country's failing. Failures in the rocket industry are fundamental to the development of further rockets. A perfect example of this is actually SpaceX. Because SpaceX started with their rocket stuff in the early 2000s. And I think it was 2009, if I'm not mistaken, but don't quote me on these dates. They were on their Falcon Block 1. It was their very first rendition of their rocket.
Okay.
And they'd constantly had failures, and it came down to the point where they had only enough money to build one more. And luckily for them, the last one they built worked. And then from that, they landed a multi-million-dollar contract with NASA to launch satellites and stuff. And then from there, they dropped the Falcon Block 1 and moved on to the Falcon Block 9. Falcon 9 Block 5, the one that they're using today. So failure is important. It's the only way to learn about these things. You know, you rather have things go wrong now when it's small scale than when you've got a multi-million rand rocket that's launching, you know, the country's best satellites that we've built. And then it fails because, you know, it didn't happen beforehand.
Yeah.
On the topic of satellites, here's another thing that I'm sure most people don't know about, and I myself didn't know about until I was doing some reading, is that, did you know last year in December, South Africa launched the most advanced satellite that the country's ever produced?
No. This is weird though, because you keep telling me about these rockets that we've launched, and I did not know about them. Like, I got into this whole rocket thing because of you, and I find rocket launches quite interesting now, but I haven't heard about a single rocket launch in South Africa. That's why I was so bamboozled when you were telling me about all of this, and I was like, is this real?
Yeah, so something to just correct there is that South Africa didn't necessarily launch the satellite. What they did is they hitched a ride on a Russian rocket that was taking a whole bunch of satellites to space, and there was enough space for our little nanosat. So a nanosat is a small satellite that weighs less than 5 kilos. So this satellite, called the ZA-Cube-2, only weighs about 4 kilos. So it's really tiny. Yeah, it's really, really small. So its purpose is to be a communications relay and to monitor sort of the natural environment of the country. So what's really cool about it is that on board it has a really good camera, and that camera monitors the weather and natural disasters in the country. So let's say there's a big wildfire, this satellite will spot it and then let the country know so that they can go and like put it out.
That's hectic. So a camera all the way up in space can detect a wildfire in South Africa?
Yeah.
Or is it all across the world?
So if I'm not mistaken, this satellite is local to South Africa. Okay. So its purpose or its usable range is only over the African continent.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it's in geostationary orbit, which means it was put way out into space and it's just chilling there above the African continent, or if it's actually orbiting. Again, because of the news in the country, I couldn't find any information on this, which again is depressing, because it's the most advanced satellite that the African continent, not just South Africa, the African continent has ever produced.
And we didn't hear about it.
And no one knows about this. And this thing was put in space on the 20th of December last year. So it's not even that long ago.
No, it's hectic. Like, we can't find information on Windhoek. And we can't find information on satellites in South Africa. Come on, South Africa, give us information.
Yeah, the internet is failing. So it's really, really cool. And for the sake of the country, I hope that, you know, UKZN, the University of KwaZulu-Natal, really gets their rocket launches under wraps.
Yeah.
Because then it means the African continent will have a local launch provider for these nanosats and stuff. And what's nice is that, you know, if we're just launching small satellites into space, we don't need really big rockets.
No.
A perfect example of this is Rocket Labs in New Zealand. All they do is put satellites in space. They're not worried about landing their rockets like SpaceX. They're not worried about reusability. All they do is put satellites in space. What's really cool about them is that they've optimized, because they're so focused on their sort of their business, they've optimized their production. So they 3D print their rocket nozzles, and their rockets are made out of carbon fiber.
Okay. So the main purpose is to basically send a rocket up at as cheap as possible costs.
Yes.
And then not bring it back so they can make more and send more satellites up into space.
Yeah. So obviously, if you're trying to develop a rocket that lands itself like SpaceX, you need lots and lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've been putting rockets in space for a very long time now, you know, since the 1960s. So because of this, it's fairly cheap to build a small rocket that doesn't need to take people up.
Mm.
So hopefully the country focuses on this. I mean, Rocket Lab this year, if I'm not mistaken, they have a launch scheduled for every month just for putting satellites in space. That's their business. So if South Africa can get this right, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of countries within Africa that'll make use of this. Not too long ago, actually, on the topic of this, one of the Central African countries, for the life of me, I don't remember the name, they put a satellite in space through another company, and that satellite now provides internet access to some of the most rural parts of the African continent, which is fantastic for business and education. So if South Africa can sort themselves out and like get this right, it means not only will we be making some really good money, because there's a lot of African continents that'll make use of it, but two, we'll be helping the development of the African continent as a whole.
It's long-term thinking, but I think we can do it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
This is huge.
Yeah, it's crazy big. I mean, think about how that'll grow the African continent. Because as it is, I mean, basically the whole of Africa is like a third world country. Yeah. You know? Maybe even lower than that. There's some really, really rural parts of it. But I mean, if we can get internet access out there through the use of these small satellites, it'll be phenomenal. It'll mean, you know, growth across the board, education, you know, it'll quite literally change the face of the African continent. And as a result, the world, just, I mean, Africa is like one of the biggest continents there is, you know. So it's pretty cool.
No, I agree with you. This is a bit of an information overload. Do you want to speak about something more with the rockets?
To be completely honest, I think I've jumped into enough. I don't want to sort of overload the listeners with boring space mumbo jumbo. The important things to note from this is, one, South Africa is currently developing a rocket program, and we should definitely look out for that so we can support it. Two, over our heads right now is the most advanced satellite that the African continent has ever produced, and that's a phenomenal achievement for our country.
Good job.
Slow claps. Three, the media needs to sort themselves out and cover this. Because I'm sure the more people know about this, the more development will go into it and the more funding will be available. I'm sure other like large companies, like let's say internet providers like MWeb, they would love to make use of, you know, small satellites and stuff to build, you know, telecommunications and stuff. But if no one knows about it, how are you supposed to make things happen?
Yeah, so media, get your stuff together and fix this issue. I would love to know about rocket launches in South Africa. And I think on that topic, let's go grab ourselves a beer.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of talking. I really need a beer. So we're going to go grab some Vintux and we'll be right back. And we're back. Looks like you've got a pretty good beer there, Vian.
Yeah, but this is a Vintic. But before we start, let's cheers.
Cheers to that, buddy.
This is the one. Let's grab a sip.
Yeah, so starting on the first category, color.
I don't know about the color. I would still definitely rate this as a undifferentiated beer.
Okay.
It has that nice golden color to it, what you'd expect from a beer. But it seems a bit darker, but I can't tell if it's my imagination or not. What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think this, in my mind, this is definitely darker than a Castle. However, not by much.
Mm-mm, no.
It's just subtle enough that we can notice a difference, but it's not crazy, crazy dark. This is slightly more golden, like a dark golden color. And because of that, I'm going to give it a 6. Or what do you think?
This is a difficult one because I still feel like if I had to put this next to a Castle or a Black Label or Heineken or the beers that we've drank, I don't think I would be able to tell this beer apart from those, and therefore I'll still give it a 5.
Okay, no, I understand completely. It's sort of tricky.
Yeah, like you said, it's a bit darker, but not by much, and therefore I'm going to stick with a 5. Next, bitterness. I saw you just grab this sip there. Tell me, how do you experience the bitterness of this beer?
So this is a very nice beer. It's very well-rounded. It's not too bitter, but it's just bitter enough. It's a nice midpoint. I wouldn't say it's perfectly in line, though, so I'm going to give it a 6, just because I think it's slightly above average. But it's by no means a bitter beer. It's very, very pleasant. I don't know. What's running through your mouth there?
It's nothing crazy, like you said. I'm right about there with you. Mm-hmm. I'd also give it a 6. In our previous episodes, we speak about that initial zing of bitterness.
Yeah.
And I don't experience this with this beer. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm going to grab another sip here, but I'm pretty sure I agree with you there.
Yeah, like we said, like that initial zing of bitterness isn't here. But like you said, it's still above average in the bitterness, and therefore I'll also give it a 6.
Yeah, it's the word that just came to mind is it's got a tang.
Mm.
So it's present, the hops are there, but it's not overpowering. It doesn't actually jump out at you. If you're not really paying attention to it, you might mistake that for just sort of the bubbles on your mouth.
Mm.
And I mean, that's a good point. This is quite a bubbly beer. What do you think?
I know this is going to sound weird. Sorry for that long pause, but I can kind of relate this beer to soda water,
yes.
Weirdly.
Yes.
It's funny though, this beer is made with... Vintuk prides themselves on calling this a natural beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's made with only barley malt and water. No preservatives, no chemicals. They pride themselves by saying that their beer is only made with those three ingredients. I think that's why I can say that it has a soda water taste to it.
Yeah, it's got that same sort of like bubbly tang that soda water has, but obviously with the flavor of the hops. That's a perfect analogy. I agree with you completely. It's very bubbly, but it's nice.
Mm. Malt value.
Hmm.
This is a weird one.
Hmm, yeah.
Grab a sip there. Sorry for interrupting you there.
No, don't be sorry.
Grab a sip there and tell me what's running through your mouth now in terms of malt value.
So, this is a tough one. And it's difficult because it's the hops, not the hops, sorry, the malt... They're present, but they're by no means powering or overpowering.
Mm.
You can taste the maltiness, but you sort of have to be looking for it. It's by no means something that jumps out at you. But personally for me, I find this slightly above average. So I'm going to give the malt value a 6, just because I can taste the malt after that hopsiness. However, the malt and the hops are sort of in line with each other.
Mm.
So you really have to be looking for it, but they're present. I know I'm sort of contradicting myself there, but it's really weird. And maybe you should grab a Heineken and try it with us. I saw you just had a sip there. Maybe you can like give some input here.
So bitterness, I gave a 6 because I get that a bit more bitterness from this beer. But in terms of malt value, like you said, you can taste it, but it's not overpowering at all.
No.
Almost to a point where I had to go hunting to be like, is this beer like really malty or not?
Yeah.
And therefore I'll boom bam straight in the middle a 5. Just because it's weird. I think a nice word to explain this is it's well balanced in terms of bitterness and malt value.
Yes.
And like I said, therefore I'll give it a 5.
Yeah. You mentioned well balanced. It's definitely a very well-balanced beer. This is a very good starting beer for people to drink. It's not overpowering. None of the two like hops or malts jump out at you.
Mm-mm.
So it gives you a very good baseline for what beer is like. So if you learn to drink Vintuk and then you move on to something else, you'll be able to pick apart the flavor profile and really get a good idea of what that beer is like versus this. Just because this is so... for lack of a better word, average.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that. I think you said it perfectly. I wouldn't say this is a starter beer, but this is a nice beer to get yourself used to beer. Just because I think after this, when you drink a Heineken, just for example, you'd be able to taste that initial zing of bitterness more easier, and then it dies down into that malt, like I explained in the Heineken episode. Where this is kind of difficult, even in terms of aftertaste. We'll get to that a bit later. Nothing stays within the mouth for long. It dies off really quickly. But I think let's get off of the topic of maltiness and dive into fruitiness.
This is an easy one. 0.
No, I can agree. There's no fruity flavors with this, and therefore I'll give it a 0 as well.
Swiftly moving on from fruitiness, aftertaste. So, Vian, tell me, what do you experience with the aftertaste of this beer?
This is a, like I said earlier, this is a really weird aftertaste. I find the aftertaste quite dull. Not in a bad way, but it's kind of like a flavorless palate. After a while, like we're speaking right now, I can't taste anything specific in my mouth anymore. It just feels like I, add a bit of beer and you have that beery aftertaste in your mouth.
No, I agree completely. You have a sip and then the flavor profile and the bubbles and the hops and all of that dies down. And then you're left with this well-rounded, you know, flavor. It's not too malty. It's not too hopsy. What's nice is that you can really taste the hops, but without the bitterness of the hops, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
When we did our beer tasting course, we chewed on some hops pellets and it was awful. It was horribly bitter.
It was disgusting.
However, with drinking this beer, I'm getting that same flavor, but without obviously the intensity and the bitterness. It's quite strange. It's very pleasant though. But again, that's kind of boring. You know, nothing really hangs out in your mouth. Nothing really says, hey, you know, I'm here.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm going to give this an aftertaste of 5. It's right in the middle for me. It's not the best, but it's by no means bad.
Mm-mm.
It's very, very average. And I think that's, again, what ties into it being such an easy drinking beer and such a good beer for a beginner. Because you can have a sip and then immediately after that, everything's sort of gone and you've just left with this mild beeriness.
It's weird. It's not that I don't enjoy the aftertaste. I find it quite boring. And then it's easy drinking as well. I can see myself drinking a few of these at a time just because you're left with such a dull aftertaste. Mm. I would like to have more just so I can experience that taste again. And therefore, I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. By no means do I feel like I need to have water after drinking this. But like after 2 or 3, you know, I can sort of see myself wanting to drink something else just for the sake of like having a flavor in my mouth.
Yeah.
Or, you know, washing that flavor out. You know, if it's lower down, like if I gave this a 3, I wouldn't need to drink water to flush it out, because obviously the beer then is so like relaxed.
Yeah.
But with this, it's present enough to the point where I wouldn't mind having something else, but it's not present to the point where I feel like I need to have something else. And therefore, that's why I'm giving it, boom, 5, slap bang in the middle.
Okay, I see where you're coming from, but I think we should move on to exotic value.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting beer when it comes to exotic value. I kind of see this beer with more of an older crowd of people.
100%.
And it's really, really interesting because it is quite an old beer. I know that my dad really enjoys Vintuk. So does all of his friends. And that's why I identified more as a beer that's present around older folks. But other than that, it does turn my head, but not to a point where I'd walk up to someone and be like, you're drinking a Vintuk. Tell me about this beer. And therefore, I'm going to give this a 6, just above average.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I'm going to give this an exotic value of 5, just because I will notice someone drinking this beer, but I won't be curious as to why they're drinking the beer. For me, this doesn't really give any indications about the person, but I do agree with you when you say that an older crowd drinks this. And yeah, for me, it's right bang in the middle where I'll see it. It'll sort of like pop out at me and be like, oh, that person's drinking a Vintuk. But the only reason I say that is because Vintuk is actually the first beer I learned to drink.
Okay.
It was the first one I was like, hey, I'm actually enjoying this beer over other ones that I used to try and drink at the time. So because of that, it's for me, it's a 5. It doesn't catch my attention, but it doesn't sort of just slide underneath the radar completely.
Next up, Lacquer Factor.
Our favorite
one. Not in this case for me personally with this beer.
Okay.
Like I said, it's an average beer, and therefore I'm going to give it an average score of 5.
Yes.
Just because I don't enjoy this beer as much as I enjoy other beers. I mean, I gave a Black Label, to date, still not my favorite beer, a 6 in terms of lack of factor, and this is a 5. And I think it says a lot of the beer, and it doesn't come down to the beer itself, but of the flavor profile of the beer. Like I said, it's quite dull, and therefore I didn't find it interesting, and therefore I went grab this beer because it's not what I enjoy within a beer. It's a beer, but I don't enjoy this type of well-balanced beers. I like to have something exotic popping out, like a flavor profile or something, and therefore I'm going to give this a 5.
I agree completely. You know, this is a very well-balanced beer. It's very well-rounded. It's pleasant to drink. However, I find it boring. Mm. So I'm going to give it a 5 as well, just because for me, it's right in the middle. Like, I'm not going to say no if someone offers me a Vintuk. However, it's if Vintuk was in the fridge next to all the other beers we've tasted so far, I'd much rather grab one of those. Not because there's anything wrong with this beer. It's just because drinking this beer isn't as much of an experience as drinking other beers is. You know, it's boring. Yeah. And I don't want to put Vintuk down.
No.
It's a fantastic beer, and if you enjoy it, I can understand why. But personally, especially here at the Bros and Beers podcast, we enjoy, you know, something different, something with a zing, something with a hint of something, be it apples or pears, or a nice hopsiness, or maybe a nice maltiness. But this is, it's kind of average. And because of that, I have to give it an average score of 5.
Yeah, I think you said a really nice word there, is we look for a beer that is an experience to drink.
Yeah.
And this is definitely lacking that department. Not that it's bad, but I feel that this beer is meant for a certain group of people.
Yeah, definitely. And on that note, to sort of round off all of this, you know, Vintuk is a well-rounded beer. However, it lacks presence, you know. Maybe we'll drink some of the other stuff and we'll find something that has an element to it that we enjoy. But in this case, it's an average beer, great for the newbie, but kind of boring for the experienced.
That was a really nice way to round off this beer. Thank you for that, James. And I think on that note, we can speak a bit about this podcast. We changed things up a bit. I don't know if you guys noticed, but James gave spoke about a really informative topic, and I want to say thank you for that, James. I learned something new. Like, who knew South Africa was busy building rockets? So thank you for that, and then I hope our listeners enjoy that as well. If you guys enjoyed this type of style of podcasting, please let us know, as I think we can have a conversation here and there in some episodes where we speak about something that we really enjoy. Anything you want to add, James?
No, I'm pleased you enjoyed the topic. I hope the listeners enjoyed it as well. You know, as you said, if you guys don't mind the slightly more in-depth, informative topics, we'd love to cover others, not necessarily just revolving around science or space. We're very passionate about other things, but we're kind of hesitant to sort of overload the listeners with stuff that they may not necessarily be familiar with. So please, let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, and I think on that note, we can end this podcast. It was a really good podcast. Mm. I really want to cheers you on that again. We still have a sip left here.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, brother. Do a good episode. And my name's Vian.
My name is James. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check out our social media. That'll be in the show notes. And we'll see you around. Or in this case, you'll hear us around next week, Wednesday. Cheerio.
Cheers, guys.